Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jordan, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so that works. All right, so give me a second. I'm trying to maneuver because since I have two browsers up, I'm trying to not get confused. So okay, so now I'm about to see if I can get somebody to look at the channel.
You got the YouTube channel streaming?
Yeah, it's up now. I had to do it the last second. I had forgotten.
Okay.
I'm trying to see who I can pull. I was in the midst of doing the blast because I finally got the links to work. So I was just starting to post the show, and I have it saved in Twitter. I can delete this stuff for now. I'll pull it back up later. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I can just delete that. I'll delete that. Give me a second. I saw the Braves won.
Yeah, I saw that too. Rosario hit his first home run.
Yeah, needed that.
Ozuna 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts.
Telling you, man, I just don't. He's not even hitting. I think, well, the other day he was hitting 0-74. So if he got three more,
it was 0-65 at one point, and it bumped up. But I think he had a hit or two in one game. Now I think it's back down to like 0. It might be 0-80 something now.
It's out of control, man. I don't know. You can't keep putting them out there. I just don't see how you do it anymore.
Yeah, it's one thing if he was hitting the ball hard or something, but 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts, dude, you're not even making contact.
And that's why I said, I don't care how much money he's making, he could not afford to have a bad start, no matter what, you know? And
here he is. Yeah, at some point, they're just going to have to eat the money on that one and be like, yeah, that's a mistake. But one thing to be paying him, and he's costing your team. I mean, when you could have somebody else in there more productive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care who it is. Now you can put, you know, heck, get Chipper in there, you know, at this point, you know.
Yeah. He's not a good defensive player. So if he's not,
that's what I was going to say, too.
What is he going to give you? He can't run.
Yeah,
he can't use him as a pitch runner.
Yeah, he don't play defense well enough to exit the fact that he don't hit. He ain't like he's Rafael Belliard or anybody like that, you know?
Right, exactly.
Dude, what's Julio Franco doing? I bet he could hit more.
He probably would, though, for real. Even though he's probably, what, about 60 now?
Mm-hmm. Put him as a DH. He wouldn't have to fail. All he got to do is hit. I bet he would love that. Dude. All right, I'm trying to find. Let me see if I can get. Let's see if Chauncey. Let's see what Chauncey is doing. Well, he don't look like he's active on Facebook. I'm trying to pull somebody who's online that I can see.
Right.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I was doing it wrong. Hold up. Now I can see everybody. Okay. So let's try Marcus. See what he's doing. Marcus has been pretty cool. So now I'm in the other browser. I'm going to see if this will work. Share. Copy. Oh, I think I got it to work. Good. Marcus, how are you? Test and see if you can hear Jordan. All right, let's see if he acknowledges. Yeah, I'm going to go into the stream and see if I see somebody pull up. So if someone pulls up, I'm going to say, let's talk football or something, okay?
Right, okay.
John Harris hit me up yesterday morning, early in the morning, and then DeAndre was up, and he said he couldn't hear John. So,
oh, wow.
We're going to see if this will work and get lucky somehow. Because if this doesn't work, again, I don't know what else I can do.
Yeah, because it was just fine before, though. That's what I don't understand. That's the part I don't understand. What has actually changed?
Yeah. All right, talking football, Jordan.
All right.
What do you think about the trade of the cornerback from Detroit?
I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, former first-round draft pick, obviously he hadn't lived up to his full draft billing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been traded for a fifth-round draft pick. But to trade a fifth-round draft pick for a guy who has first-round talent, I like that all day. You know, if our secondary coaches and our defensive coaches can coach him up, he might be a great addition to the team. One of the things I do know he's great at, Jeffrey, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Udo?
Yeah, I know you're talking about
the pronunciation on that. But one of the things he's really good at is run defense from the cornerback position. He's a guy who, Jeffrey Okuda. One of the things he's really good at is run defense. He's a guy who was not afraid to come up and hit guys from the cornerback position. We know AJ is not afraid to hit people either. So hopefully that will help make our run defense a strength. But, yeah, I absolutely like it a lot. I like it even better, the fact that I heard that Detroit covered $1.5 million of his salary this season, making him even cheaper for the Falcons this year. They get a look at him before they have to worry about picking up his fifth-year option. Actually, they may have to pick it up this year before they see him play, but good thing about that fifth-year option, it's non-guaranteed. So if it doesn't work out, you can just cut him, and it doesn't count anything against your cap in terms of a cap hit. So, yeah, I like that move a lot, sir. I think what it does is it means you're not forced to take a corner in the first round, and it's setting the Falcons up to the point to where they can really take the best available player. I'll caveat to that, best available player at a position of need with the eighth pick, because I'm really not a person that's just strictly best player, because the best player may be a running back. In fact, a lot of the Falcons fans seem to want us to take the running back, Bjorn out of Texas.
I'm trying to talk about it.
I'm just not with that. Yeah, I'm just not with it, Chris.
They're wanting to be splashy, and they're like, oh, well, you know, Tyler's all right and everything, but you got to go ahead and get the blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, but did you see what Tyler actually did? Did you know that he led college football in broken tackles? Did you see what he could do one-on-one, things of that nature? And that was just his first year. And I know what you're saying, but I'm like, nothing is guaranteed. And one thing you do have is a running back that did prove himself already, right? In back of an offensive line that on the run scheme part proved themselves already. And they're not going to do anything but get better by coaching. And then we have all the talent, you know, between our tight ends and things of that nature. So even more holes are going to get opened up. So I just think at the end of the day, our problem was stopping people. At a certain point, you know, Terry's plan this whole time has been, when I get the money and the ability to do it, I'm going to lace this team down with defense like they ain't ever seen before. And that's what he's doing. And like you said, this is just setting us up to be able to have all the flexibility and leverage in the world to get the best line person that you can get between the top, you know, 8 picks of the draft, whether it be another great tackle and or an actual edge rusher, you know, one way or the other. It just has to be defense. And in the second round as well, I think it should be defense. You can get a running back in the third round if you got to get a running back for the sake of getting it or whatever. There's none of the running back. Nobody else is putting that Robinson kid in the first round. No, none of the other mock drafts have him at high. So why in the world would the Falcons take their 8th pick and do that? Like that wouldn't make any sense.
I think he's going to the first round, but I don't think he's going to the top 10. Unless Philadelphia, I think, is there at 10. I can see them maybe having the luxury of making a pick like that, being that they had guys like Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean basically coming off the bench last year. Now, both of those guys are likely to move into the starting lineup from this upcoming year. But their team, I can see maybe taking them top 10. But I think you're going the first round. But, yeah, 8 is probably too high. But my thing is, like you said, it'd be different if we just didn't have nothing at the running back position. We do have Tyler Allgeier, who rushed for over 1,000 yards as a rookie. Like you mentioned, he led the NCAA in broken tackles his last year in college, and that showed to translate to the NFL. And we still have Cordarrelle Patterson as well. So I just don't see – I mean, you don't take a guy in the top 10 to split carries, okay? If you're going to take a running back in the top 10, he got to be your guy. You know what I mean? You got to be guy getting 75-80% of the touches at the running back position, and I don't see why you would do that to Tyler Allgeier to drop his touches to 20%. You know, 25%, you know what I mean? And so it doesn't make sense to go running back right there. I agree. Defensive line makes the most sense, especially since we have a corner now. That's not to say we couldn't use more talent at the cornerback position maybe, but I think, I mean, if Jalen Carter's there, you just got to pull the trigger. You know, people could talk about character issues and troubles, but that's why you have a Grady Jarrett on your roster. That's why you bring in a guy like Calais Campbell to mentor a guy like Jalen Carter. So I think if he's there, that's who you take. If he's
why you got Campbell just for that reason as well. You know what I'm saying? I think the plan is great, how they're setting it up. Hey, hold on a second. I'm going to test these sounds out real quick because I've never used any of these in this new browser. So I just want to make sure. Marcus did say he could hear you talking about football picks.
Is it the shoes? Is it the shoes?
When I end this, I'm going to backplay it and see if I can hear it as well. And if I can, I think this will work. And we can have our Google recordings again. But I'm just going through some of these real quick.
Oh, bowl, baby!
I forgot about that one. That is
Dominique.
The dagger in their heart.
There's a Dominique.
What else is on here? Oh, here we go.
For the love of God, he just shot a 3.
I got to make sure we sound it tomorrow for sure from Steve again. Oh, here's a favorite.
But it was just my imagination.
It looks like everything is working. And I think Torian just came in. what's the question and the number? Okay, he don't know it's a test. So, Torian, this is actually a test. We are just trying to make sure that volume and everything works because we got Bob Raffin and Steve Holman on the show tomorrow. And I wanted to make sure that I could have the podcast version available to, you know, put on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and everything. So this is actually not a show unless, George, you want Torian to call in real quick? It looks like he got a question.
I mean, if he want to call in, he's welcome to. I don't have a problem with it. Just to get back to what we were talking about, man, you know, I think that's the way you go. If by some chance Jalen Carter is not there, I think you probably still want to go maybe edge rush in that situation. Maybe Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech if he's there. If not, I mean, maybe you take a chance on Nolan Smith right there. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously he was injured for a good part of last year, but, you know, with his talent level, his intangibles, the fact that he was the number one recruit coming out of high school, we know Georgia rotates a lot of guys in, so guys could have a tendency to put up better production in the NFL. Like I said, now the one thing we talked about on Twitter the other day, I mean, it is a possibility they could go offensive line with that pick. I wouldn't be particularly mad with that as long as that guy is the right guy. Because I just said trench play is still important. Obviously, I don't think you take a guy that high to play him at left guard full time. But if you had a guy like that that started at left guard his rookie year, then maybe kicks out the tackle to replace, you know, Jake Matthews, you know, in a year or two, then, you know, that will work for me as well.
Unless he's going, that person's going to be like the best offensive lineman that the Falcons have ever had ever in life type of a deal, I don't think you, I still think you stave off that and find some real good gems in the later rounds or whatever, which are where most linemen are end up, you know, being found, obviously. And I think because of what Terry is doing, I think, well, even though he kind of messed up last year with that, you know, not getting the right Georgia player, but I don't know. That's what worries me as far as that part goes, you know. I just rather than just stop people. If we can stop people, everything else will you know, kind of pan out. So I don't want to see what's happened in the last couple of years happen anymore. You know what I'm saying? Us not being able to make tackles. You know, we're going to get ran, you know, 400 yards a game and then thrown on anymore. I'd rather have us have, you know, giving up 10 points a game, running the ball, Ritter controlling, not making no mistakes, and, you know, London and the rest of the guys, Pitts and everybody, doing what they got to do, you know, on a regular basis, because you can win Super Bowls like that. Ask the Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman. And I think Ritter is better than Troy Aikman. So, you know, I feel we can fit those other needs in later on, or even signing some more, you know, free agents or whatever, or even in the future. Maybe next year's draft concentrate on that to replace Matthews or some other people or whatever. But coming into this year, I think they got continuity. We got a lot of training with, you know, between your coaches and everything. I want us to get as many defensive players as we can to continue to make sure that if somebody gets hurt, we're good. Because once you have injuries, AJ goes down or Grady goes down or something like that, whole season shouldn't be precedent on something like that happening.
It just depends for me on what player is around right there. Like I said, if Jalen Carter's there, to me that's a no-brainer. But if he's not there and then you're faced with a situation of Nolan Smith or the top offensive lineman in the draft, I mean, you got a dilemma there because I like Nolan Smith, but, I mean, I got to keep it real. He is a risk, being that he didn't have huge production, being that he was hurt last year. And so if you feel more comfortable taking whoever you feel is the best offensive lineman in the draft, the guy that has positional versatility, I don't have a problem with it. You know, like, I know it's not the sexy pick. I know it's, you know, it doesn't excite people. But ultimately, when you draft a good offensive line, you know, it's a key to winning. it's a key to be able to run the ball. It's a key to keep your quarterback upright and help your young quarterback out. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Like I said, it took an offensive lineman and Jalen Carter was on the board, I'd be mad. But if he's not on the board, I won't be mad.
Let me bring in Torian real quick because I think he has an answer or a question. Hey, Torian, what's going on, man?
What's up, Chris, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I just jumped in when you he was talking about Carter, you know. I didn't know that this was a test, so I assumed that y'all was talking about who we picked before the eighth pick. I'm really leaning towards Tyree Wilson, man, because, I mean, it just makes sense, especially since they brought in Calais Campbell. You know, you got him to teach him right off the bat. You know, everything that, you know, the thing that I'm hearing most people say is, like, he doesn't have a lot of moves, pass rush moves. You got Calais right there to teach him everything, you know, and pass it on to him before he retire, you know. Same way we had with Freeney what's his name?
Vic Beasley's pass rush left with Freeney.
Right. But that year he came in, you know, it was huge, but it didn't seem he retained the information or the knowledge, you know, because he didn't really do anything after that. But, yeah, man, I've really been high on Wilson, man. I mean, you got 2, 6, 7, 6, 8 bodies, like, on the ends, like, or anywhere on the line. Like, that's going to be a problem for a lot of teams. You know, they're going to set the edge, and then we got the rest of the big bodies in the middle to help stop the run. I think we're going to be a top team as far as run defense. You know, it's we got a lot of bodies, you know. Goldman came back. Ayumata, you know, we might pick up another one deep in the draft somewhere. So, but I like what they've been doing overall in this offseason, mostly defenses, and that's what we've been needing help, you know. I think Bates is going to be, you know. I'm interested in seeing what Okuda's going to do, you know, coming up.
Yep.
The injuries, and, you know, he ain't really been that good since he's been back because, you know, half his time he's been in the league, dang near, he's been injured. So, but yeah, man.
I agree with you on a lot of what you said. Now, I'm not going to take Wilson if Carter is there because I just feel like if Carter didn't have character questions, he would be almost a lock to be the first non-quarterback to come off the board. Either him or Will Anderson, in my opinion. Can collapse the pocket from the edge and from the inside. He's more of a 3-4 defensive end, 4-3 defensive tackle. But
yeah.
I just feel like he's too talented to pass on if he's there. Now, if he's not there and Tyree Wilson is, I have no problem with that being the pick. Now, the only concern I do have about him, will he be able to be successful getting to the quarterback off the edge? Like, I think maybe if he doesn't, he'll be a guy you can kick inside on passing downs, and he will be able to get there from the inside. I guess with some of those bigger defensive ends, I worry about if they have the flexibility to turn that corner. You know what I mean? And that's where you look at a guy like Nolan Smith, he's definitely got that part. You know what I mean? So it's interesting, man. You got a lot of interesting options. I do think, you know, defensive line is probably the best spot we could go to being picking right there. But like I was telling Chris, I mean, if somehow Wilson is gone and Carter's gone and they don't feel comfortable with Nolan, then I wouldn't be mad if they went off the line. Like I said, not know a lot of people don't like that. No, it's not sexy. I know he ain't, you know, he don't have no stats for offensive linemen, but ultimately if you got a good five up front, you're going to be good. I know, Chris, I know you said you could find offensive linemen in the later rounds, and some teams do, but we hadn't seemed to have had any luck over the years finding offensive linemen in the later rounds. In fact, the three best offensive linemen on our team are all first-round draft picks. Caleb McGarry, late first-round pick. Chris Lindstrom, mid first-round pick. And Jake Matthews, high first-round pick. So, you know, if we come down to the fourth or fifth edge rusher versus the number one offensive lineman in the draft, I could see them going offensive line. But my only thing is, if you pick an offensive lineman in the top 10, I need him to pan out. I need him to be a perennial pro bowler, all-pro type of dude within a 2 or 3 years and going forward after that. Because otherwise, you know, it really gets to be a disappointing pick when you pick a lineman and they bust out up that high.
Right. You're right about that. I'm just glad these guys panned out, like you said, McGarry and Lindstrom.
I was a little worried about McGarry there for a while, but he got it together this year.
You still never know, but it seems like he turned the corner. You know, he's definitely putting in that work, you know, to get better. So,
right. One thing about it, he's a ferocious run blocker, no doubt. You know what I mean? He's always kind of been that. It was the pass blocking that was kind of suspect, but he played much better last year. I'm hoping that, you know, he build on it. It always makes you pause a little bit when your guy has a breakout year and a contract year like that. It's like, hope you're joking, don't get that money and go back to playing like how you played before that. But yeah, hopefully he keeps it up. And you're right, you know, it's just a good thing those guys panned out the way they did. I do agree with you. I do think we'll have one of the better run defenses in the NFL with Calais Campbell, with the Grady Jarrett, with Onyemata, with Goldman, which I have forgotten about him coming back out of retirement. Like, they're pretty loaded up front in the position. But you know what? That's fine. They can keep loading up there as far as I'm concerned, in the edge and in the interior, because it's been such a weakness for us over the years. So you keep stacking up in them two positions until that weakness turns into a strength, in my opinion.
I totally agree. The last threat we had at pass rush was Abraham. And that's how long ago?
Man, so, that's been quite a while ago. You're right.
It's almost two decades
outside
now.
Outside of that one season with Vic Beasley, our pass rush has been non-existent, and it's just.
And everybody knows it, too.
Everybody knows it. I mean, even though that, like, we haven't been always as bad as far as with run defense, but we've lost some games because we couldn't stop the run.
Right.
And so pass rush, run defense, man, coupled, man, it's just been a huge lack and huge need for so long.
Well, VP said it best last year, or was it the year before last? He's tired of hearing it. The team has been at the bottom of the league for almost two decades. You can't make that up. You can't make that up. And so it's like, so who's at fault? Who's the failure of that? And it's a matter of when you don't got the personnel, well, who's in charge of the personnel? You know, beyond the coaching part, you got to have that. But at the same time, you do got to have some coaching. You got to have some plans. And Dean Pease at least put something together, you know, with what he had. And at least you saw some improvement somewhere in there. But at the end of the day, you do still have to have the bodies. And for whatever reason, Thomas Dimitroff didn't think that was important. So thus, we never stopped anybody. So no matter how many times we got down and got the, you know, the lead touchdown, our defense was going to give it up every single time. And that's why you can't win more than seven games a season. And that ain't cool.
Yeah.
We can't let that happen another year. Right? So Terry had, you know, three-year plan. Here it is, year three. And he's completely reconstituted the team from what it was. We have depth. We have some great pieces all the way around, skill-wise, and depth. And we got some young pieces that we'll find out if they can grow. I think we have a winning team, though.
Yeah.
Go on,
I mean, I agree. I think one of the things that's alarming, man, is somebody put the graphic up, one of the football publications on Twitter, and it was the sacks of the last 3 years. And we are by far the last in sacks over the last 3 years combined. I mean, it's like at least 10 difference between number 32 and number 31. And we got to change that. Because, like, I mean, you can look pretty. You can score a lot of points. You know what I mean? You can run the ball down somebody's throat Ultimately, if you can't affect the other team's quarterback, it's going to be hard to win, particularly when you're playing these good quarterbacks. Like, I mean, we all saw the times that Tom Brady lost in Super Bowls and whatnot. It was because the other team had a ferocious pass rush, you know, just like when the Giants beat them twice, just like when the Eagles beat them. Even the last championship Brady won with Tampa, it was because Tampa was in Mahomes' face in that particular Super Bowl all night long. So I don't care how the game changes, that's still going to always be an important part of football.
Brady won a Super Bowl 13-3. No touchdowns and an interception. Can't get around that one, right? So you can't tell me defense don't win championships because how did they win that one, right? So at a certain point, you got to be able to have that ability, even with Mahomes. His team got stops when it needed to, right? So we have to be able to get what everybody else has had for 50 years to start winning on a regular basis. And I think finally we have a semblance of it. Now, they still got to prove it on the field, of course. You know, plays have to be drawn up. Players have to execute and perform. But at least we have better players now overall, and they can feel it. Like, they knew they should have won a division last year. They knew they should have won a division last year. All of them would say that to you. So, you know, at the end of the day, you had somebody who was throwing 140 yards a game. That's just what's going to cut it. So year is going to be completely different just all the way around, and the rest of the league knows it too. I mean, there's players who want to come to Atlanta. Like, it's a vibe that, you know, we don't get a lot, but you have players trying to get other players to come here. That's a big deal. People want to be here. They want to win here. They want to see if they can help the Falcons win a Super Bowl. That's pretty cool, and I think the city needs to embrace it, and the ones who don't, they can be New Orleans Saints fans for all I care. I don't care, but they need to get the heck out of here, you know?
Yeah, that was big for Calais to say, you know, you feel like we got something good going on here, you know? I mean, for a player of his caliber, you know, like you said, people actually want to play here now, you know? I remember seeing that Instagram post about, you know, Jesse Bates being here having dinner, you know, possibly being signed by the Falcons. You know, I didn't really pay it too much attention, but it ended up coming around. So, hey, man, like, I'm excited. I'm really waiting to see what Ritter's going to do with the full season. Because, one, I feel like they brought him in way too late. I don't know what to do.
If you heard any of my shows, Tori, you already know I said that he should have been in there, like, after game five. Like what are we even waiting for? At the end of the day, those five extra games that he played was nonsense. And it cost us a division, basically, because Ritter went 2-2. What if Ritter had eight
games? I don't know what game number that was when Mariota tried to throw the ball from off his back and just threw it up in the air for grabs.
That was it.
That should have been it after that game.
I wasn't living in Atlanta because I would have came down from the rafters like Sting, WCW style, and that would have been the end. That would have been it.
Hey, that was the nail in the coffin. That was the final nail in the coffin, and they stayed with him after that mess.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I didn't understand that one.
Yeah,
guy I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring is Caden Ellis, who we brought in from New Orleans. I think he had about 7 sacks last season, if I'm not mistaken. He's a guy who can kind of put his hand in the dirt and rush the passer, or he can play stand-up linebacker. But, yeah, 7-8 tackles and 7 sacks and just 11 starts. I'm thinking that, you know, he's a guy who could also provide some pass rush. Arnold Ibiketie, our second-round pick from last year, showed some flashes last year. Maybe he'll be able to turn it up a notch and get to the passer as well. So we got more talent at that spot. I think we just need to continue to add talent to the spot. I'm interested to see what Ritter does. I think he's capable of at least, you know, managing the offense and helping us move the chains. But I'm like, y'all, I just don't know enough, man, because they waited too long to put him in there. But at any rate,
he deserves as much a chance as all the other quarterbacks that have gotten their chances over the years. It'd be different if he was like one of the worst college football players of all time, but that's not true. He's the third winningest quarterback of all time, and he can make the throws, you know. So he deserves a chance to fail as much as Marcus Mariota has failed his whole career up till now, where his 8 seasons of proving he's not a starting quarterback. Ridder deserves to have a whole season under him. If he fails, he fails, you know, but I just don't see that it will. And Arthur Smith won't let him do it. And Ritter doesn't want to either. Ritter has something to prove as much as anybody. You know, he's going to have Pitts the whole season next year. Anybody really thinks he's going to overthrow Pitts like Marcus Mariota did?
Overthrow. Took wide left, wide right.
He couldn't get the ball to Pitts to save his life, man. For
it was embarrassing, sir. It was almost as if he's getting paid not to throw it to him. It was that embarrassing, you know. It was blatant almost. So I just don't think, you know, we're going to see that. You know, Ritter didn't throw any interceptions in his 4 games either. He turned the ball over like Marcus.
And Drake's numbers went up each game.
Yeah, it was a shame. Yeah, by the time we finally changed quarterback, Pitts was already hurt. But London definitely benefited. So if he can find chemistry with both of those guys, we'll have something going.
I really feel like he's going to. He's that type. You know, you can listen when he talks, you know, you can tell, like, he's the type. As a matter of fact, I think I was listening to 92.9, I think he said, they said he already with some of the receivers working out somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure they
know. I truly feel like he's going to be ahead of the game as far as getting, you know, reps in with the guys, you know, especially with him. I mean, I see him like a Matt Ryan type, like the studio of the game. Like he's that leader. He's going to get the players out there. We're going to get together. We're going to make these, you know, get this camaraderie together, get this timing down, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with the run game, I think we'll pick up a running back in the draft too, you know, somebody that's not as well known. But I'm looking for this offense, man, to be moving the ball.
Now, now Jordan has been mentioning having that speedster as far as a wide receiver. I don't know who's still out there who could maybe be that person or fill that role. Is that going to be still a free agent thing, or are they going to target the draft to get the, you know, fastest guy possible within, you know, certain round?
One thing, they did pick up a few wide receivers. They picked up Scotty Miller out of Tampa, who has some speed in the slot. They picked up the gentleman, what's his name, Hollis from the Raiders, who's not a speed guy, but he's more of a size, you know, more of another big receiver. But a guy who could step in, let's say, if a London goes down, you know, you don't have the downgrade in size out there, and he can play with those guys. Another pickup I like, that a lot of people don't talk about, is picking up that tight end, Jonnu Smith, coming up from the Patriots. He played for Coach Arthur Smith in Tennessee. And so he can catch the ball and run routes from the tight end position. Obviously, he's not explosive like Pitts. I mean, nobody is, with the exception of Kelsey and my guy Brock Bowers at Georgia. I like that pickup because I think it allows you to play a lot more two tight end sets with two wide receivers out there and run it that way. And when you can play like that, especially when you have a guy like Pitts that can line up, you know, outside or in line, you can kind of run no huddle and shift from power sets to spread sets without changing the personnel. You know what I mean? And so team don't really know how to play you. You know, if you want to keep an extra linebacker on the field, then you got to worry about putting the linebacker on Kyle Pitts somehow. But if you want to put a bunch of corners on the field, then we can just run the football. So, you know, they can really make it a pick your poison type of thing if they run this thing correctly with these two tight end sets.
Hey, quick side note, 110-108 Pelicans over OKC so far with about 2 minutes, well, 3 minutes left.
Yes, sir. Got it on the TV now.
Yeah, they got a good game going on.
I wanted to you asking that question about the linebacker. Maybe I had been wondering, y'all think we're going to bring back Evans? Like, are you just waiting to see how the market play out? Cause
hey, what's we call it? Tampa, the dude from Tampa just asked for a trade. That might be the open.
Who?
White.
Let me see if I can find him.
White did ask to be traded.
Devin White, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. He wants out.
I don't know how that would work. What type of pick they looking for? He probably looking for a lot of money. I don't know how that would work, but certainly would be a welcome addition.
Terry might be able to do a double A from the Braves and be like, "Look, you're gonna take $7 a week for the next 7,000 weeks and be happy. Come help us with a Super Bowl.
I don't know. We'll
make sure you get some good commercials with Home Depot or something. You know."
Pelicans up by two now on OKC with 59 seconds to go.
Herb Jones.
I don't know. Simpson, I think Evans, you know, obviously he's a solid piece right there. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. We'll see if he comes back. I'm surprised nobody has signed a guy like Yannick Ngakoue yet, the pass rusher, you know, a guy who's consistently around 8 sacks a year. There's still a few guys out there that can help.
It'd be a money thing with him. I saw his name out there too still. So unless he's just kind of chilling, I guess. But you would think it'd be a team out there really trying to push to get him on their team.
You would think so. I think you're probably going to see movement with those type of guys after the draft. When teams kind of see what they're able to get and not able to get in the draft, and they'll start turning to those creators that are left to couldn't land the guy they really wanted to land on their board at particular positions. So we definitely should be much improved, though, man. Like I said, one aspect of that run defense is the fact that the corners are all going to be able to tackle, because you have AJ, who we know hit somebody. Okuda is a good run defender, and as is the other nickel corner, we have James, is I think his name, or I can't remember the kid now. What's the nickel corner we signed? Does anybody know?
I'm looking.
Yeah, no, I'm drawing a blank.
I have a second. Mike Hughes, yeah. He's a good run defender as well. He'll come up and hit you also. But the fact is, they'll have three corners that'll come up and hit you.
I was just made up a name like Hughes Mike, but I actually looked it up. And anyway.
Yeah, Mike Hughes. Yeah, well, we know 929, the game doesn't do that research. They've turned into another National Enquirer radio station. They just want to talk about whatever's controversial. They want to keep pushing narratives about Trey Young, about this trade foolishness, when the whole article the dude put out from the Ringer was a hack job. You know what I mean? The fact is, all you had to do is read the article. And the article told you what his source was. His source was a different article from March the 3rd. And which Wrestler basically just said he was leaving all basketball decisions up to his basketball guys. And so they said, well, that include Trey Young. If they want to trade Trey Young, we didn't hear you say Trey Young was untouchable. And he said, look, what I'm telling you is I don't determine that. My basketball people determine that. And that's all they were saying. And they took and turned it into this thing, you know, but I said, I was good to see that report yesterday where they said that the Hawks people called Trey Young right after that came out and let him know there was no truth to that. And don't even worry about it.
It's
and
just sad that folks doubled down on it, though. You know what I'm saying? It's just like even after that, even on the TNT broadcast when the reporter got on the microphone and said that, you still had people saying otherwise. Even today, over on 929. The other guy basically said it again. He repeated it. I was just like, and we beat Miami. We're the seventh seed, and you still won't let it go. And you wonder why people hate 92.9. You see what I'm saying?
Everybody.
Like, we don't even have, you know, Atlanta don't have a local sports station, but they're the flagship to three of the franchises in town. You know what I'm saying? It's three of the four major franchises, you got to listen to 92.9 a game. And it doesn't make no sense how they hate all of them. They didn't want Atlanta United. They really could. I don't even want to get into it because I'm going to just have a get my blood pressure up again. I ain't going to get that. I ain't going to get
it. Yeah. It's quite irresponsible. Oh, man. Okay, she's in one of three now with 12 seconds to go.
Josh Giddey.
Yeah. 31 points for Giddey. 31
points.
He's
about to have a triple-double out there.
Yeah, okay, we got some good young players, man.
They really do.
Remember, too, they got, like, the number one draft pick for the next 30 years, too. So,
well, the number two pick for last year's draft. Right.
They got
that
number two pick for, and they're supposed to come back.
Right. He ain't even played this year. They still got a good team. So,
you're talking about how you build a team.
Look, they might mess around and have another Durant, Westbrook, and Harden situation.
It's possible. They're going to have to figure, I think they'll figure it out, though. I think this time around, I think there'll be a little bit better judgment in regards to retaining and convincing them all to, you know, finish it out. You know what I'm saying? You know, like a Golden State. You know what I'm saying? And I believe with what they've done with the how the ownership and everything works out and money, because one, they don't not sell out none of their games, right? They're always full. Yeah. So it ain't money. So I think they can pull
their
that
fans,
off. And
their
they
fans
start
are
winning.
Passionate. You got to give them credit for that. Their fans are passionate.
Yeah. So if they really do start winning, I don't think they'll want to leave. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to want to prove that they can win an OKC. You know, the other guys, you know, AD and, you know, it was, you know, I don't know, not as much.
That was Harden. Harden was the first one. Harden didn't like the fact he was coming off the bench. He wanted to go in and get his own team. Obviously, he's a very talented guy, but that was the first issue. I mean, what they really should have done back then would have been to convince Harden, basically would have been to talk Harden into staying and got rid of Westbrook earlier is what they really should have did. Because I think Westbrook was a big reason why Durant left, too, defensively. But Durant hung in there for quite a while. Eventually, he just like, I can't work with this guy. You know what I mean? So then they also had Serge Ibaka back then, a young Serge, too. So, yeah, they drafted a lot of good talent, man. Don't be interested to see it, man. Oh, yeah, step 117, 114, 12 seconds. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what these playoffs look like. Because to me, there ain't no real deal major favorite, especially not in the West. I think a lot of people discount Milwaukee, but you do got to look at the fact that their number one seed already got a championship. So, I mean, I do think they're the favorites in the East. But in the West, man, I mean, a lot of people don't believe in Denver, even though they're the number one seed. I know I don't. You know, they got to show me. Now, they ain't going to be easy to put out. Because they shoot the three ball so well, along with Jokic and what he does. But still, they got to show me they can do something deep in the playoffs. It really crazy is the fact that Phoenix and the Clippers are playing a first-round series, and one of them got to go home off the bat. Because both of those teams are very good. Phoenix is dangerous, man. It's like they can put everything together and click, they're dangerous. Because I'm telling you, Kevin Durant, man, is as automatic as they come as far as a jump shooter in this league. Always has been. I mean – Right. I mean, he went over to Golden State, a team that already had a championship. But he was instantly – I mean, I love Steph, but we got to keep it real. The best player on that team was Kevin Durant for 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you couldn't stop him. You know.
Right. So,
yeah, anybody in the West can technically get to that point. I mean, it's more wide open for sure than in the East. I mean, you see that for the records. You know, that was pretty obvious there. you know. So it's just a matter of who can get hot and who can make enough stops, because all those teams can make shots. We know that for sure, you know. So it's going to be fun. And, you know,
Larry Davis team, sir, having Durant and Booker on the same team like that, them guys, both of them guys get hot. It's going to be tough to start,
you
man.
You can't just team
then,
both of them.
Right. Then, I mean, Aiden can be some timey, but he can step up and have a game too. And then that allows Chris Paul to where you ain't really dependent on him as much to carry you. You know what I mean? And he can just come out and try to make the right play, knock down shots when they ain't paying no attention to him. They're dangerous, man. They're dangerous. Ain't no doubt about that. But the Clippers have got a good team too, so that's a pretty good series to be starting off with. A lot of people picking the Lakers and whatnot. I am not buying that. I'm sorry.
Who's picking the Lakers? Who's drinking the Hennessy?
Well, I've heard people saying now that they think the Lakers gonna go to the all the way to the conference finals and this and that. I ain't buying the Lakers, man. I'm just not.
Okay.
They too up and down. They too sometimes. You know what I mean? AD plays good sometimes. Sometimes he plays timid. You know what I mean? And, you know, outside of LeBron, the rest of them guys ain't never really, you know, showed that they could do nothing in big situations. You know, Dennis Schroeder, we know he does what he does coming off the bench, but, you know, he ain't a guy you really trust in pressure situations. So, yeah, I'm not buying them yet. You know what I mean? I don't even think they're going to get past the Grizzlies, to be honest with you. I don't.
I'm pretty sure they won't, but you never know. But I don't think this year they can do it. So, I think they're drinking that Lance Stevenson cocktail, talking about the Lakers going to the finals. I'm just trying to say. Uh-oh, looks like OKC is going to come out, y'all.
Yeah, look like it.
What y'all think about what Zion said about that playing till he right mentally, pretty much?
But say it again?
Man, I don't know what to make of Zion, man. He's a great player, man. I mean, he's so talented, but he can't help the club from the tub, sir. You know what I mean? And this guy is always injured. I think it's a situation where he really needs to maybe work on losing more weight or something to try to prolong his career. Because he's just too big and too powerful. Like, feet and legs aren't meant to hold that kind of force and weight and power combined in one package. It's kind of like the smaller version of what Yao Ming was. You know, Yao Ming was so big. I mean, had legs like a freaking tree trunk, calves like tree trunks. But
no,
his feet couldn't hold all
of that. The only argument with that is you got Shaq out there. You know what I'm saying? And Shaq played for a long time being the biggest guy on the court and dominated for a long time.
Yeah, but Shaq played through a lot of foot injuries too, though. You know what I mean? He just didn't have the major.
Well, he needs to play through his foot injuries then or something, because at a certain point.
Yeah, but the difference is Shaq was able to avoid
basketball.
Shaq was able to avoid, like, breaking the foot. He just had plantar fasciitis, so his feet was always hurting. But when you start breaking the feet, like a Gauskas did early in his career, he came back from it, though. Ended up being a solid role player. But, you know, he was like a two-time All-Star early in his career, but before he started breaking those feet. And then, you know, Yao Ming started breaking his. Zion's had major injuries to his.
Well, I don't know if all of that can be attributed to their size as much as maybe, I don't know, just them physically, who they are as a human being or whatever.
I think he's so violent. He plays a violent style, and he's not just scoring in the inside. He's driving and cutting and doing all kind of stuff, man. I mean, you saw how he went through a shoe in college. You know what I mean? Like, even they had to even do something to his shoes to hold all that force and size in one pack. He's a unique dude, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as him saying he's not gonna come back to he feel like Zion mentally, I mean, I guess I get it in a way, because if he keep coming back early and then favoring the other leg, then all you do is injure the other freaking leg. You know what I mean? So I guess I get it, as long as it don't turn into a Ben Simmons situation where he's sitting out a whole season and that kind of foolishness. You know what I mean? But maybe he might be better. I mean, yeah, but maybe he might be better served sitting the rest of this one out until, you know what I mean, it looked like they're about to go home anyway, so I guess it ain't going to matter. Yeah, they done. They just got beat 123-118, so they done now anyway. So I mean, he should be ready to go to start next season though. So
maybe they should maybe the Nets should trade Ben to New Orleans, and New Orleans trades Zion to Brooklyn Nets. There you go.
Heck no,
I saw that one.
No, thank you. I don't want that dude to leave that dude out west, man. He all right, cause shoot, I don't want him getting healthy and coming into Brooklyn. Nah, that's all right. Besides, I wouldn't give a team two jock straps and a bag of basketballs for Ben Simmons right now. Especially not the money he made. No, thank you. You know, Zion, at least, I think he's way more mentally tough than Ben Simmons is. That dude's a mental midget, man. You know, and I hate to say that. Some people might say that's insensitive because he say he's dealing with mental health issues, but I mean, at a certain point, you know, you just got the yips and you can't get past it. You can't get past it.
Yeah, I think he should just go ahead and retire. I don't think he can do it. Like at this point, I think he's proven he can't handle it. You know, so
yeah. Yeah.
Well, guys,
I mean, the Hawks did it to him.
I'm going to. It looks like everything works, I think. But I'm a listen to this after. So Torian, thanks for calling in, man, and checking out. In any time, be sure tomorrow listen to the shows tomorrow with Bob and Steve for sure. Okay.
Oh yeah, I got my notifications set.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, guys. I'll talk to y'all another time.
All right now.